a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
And a pleasant good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be listening, here on the Central Coast, the entire U.S. nation up in the Central Valley. We are pleased to be here in the Bay Area, in San Francisco, and all over the world, substituting for MZ. And we do have a fine show for you today. In our first hour, we're going to talk to the publisher of the Trends Journal. And he could be reached at trendsjournal.com. He is Gerald Salente. I've had him on my show many a times. And we're going to be talking to him very shortly. From 11 to 12, I urge you to give a listen. We're going to talk to Dr. Hassan Astani. He's a tenured professor from UC Berkeley, a civil engineer, and he will talk about what is known as the Great Quagmire, the new Bay Bridge that connects Oakland and San Francisco. Dr. Hassan Astani says, quite simply, this is a white elephant. It is unsafe, and even under the most unlethal of circumstances, is bound to collapse. His words, not mine. But let's, without further ado, get to the phone lines. I have had this gentleman on numerous times on my other radio show on KSCO and over the internet, and he has been on a multitude of talk shows. You may have heard him on Coast to Coast. He's everywhere, an expert and great on radio, Dr. Gerald, no, not doctor, Gerald, I'm thinking of my other guest, Gerald Salente. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me back, Rich. I'm doing fine.
Always great to have you back, sir. And let's get right at it. Stock market, up and down. We have all these stories coming out, sir, about what is taking place again in Europe, the uncertainty of the Middle East, just a plethora of issues to talk to. What do you make of this? Well, first of all, explain to the listeners this whole artificial economy that we have, the uncertainty going on in Europe, and how it affects the United States, and what you see in the future in that regard, sir.
Well, let's look at the economy since the panic of 08 hit 5 years ago. The Federal Reserve and the central banks have literally dumped in tens of trillions of dollars worth of, in Europe, they call it outright monetary transactions. Isn't that a nice word? OMT, or LTROs, long-term refinancing operations. And basically, they're dumping all the dough they can into the banks to keep them solvent. And then in the United States, we have QEs, quantitative easings 1, 2, and 3. And then over in England, the same thing. Back in over in Japan, the Bank of Japan, more quantitative easing, $2 trillion worth. Quantitative easing is Wall Street lingo for printing cheap money. And I'm not making that up. All you have to do is just do the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason their economy is puttering along at all is because of these record low interest rates. I mean, I bought a house, I bought a historic building, a 1750 building. I got a 2.875 mortgage on it, locked in for 15 years. This is unheard of. So even with all of that so-called stimulus, which is nothing more than cheap money, I mentioned about the low interest rates. In the old days, when I was a kid, people used to do, they had this arcane, this cute little thing they used to do. They called it savings. You would put money away in a bank, and you'd get interest on that money. And you'd accumulate enough interest as it compounded over the years to actually retire on it. Now you put your money in the bank, you get nothing back. You get nothing back. So you're being forced to speculate. That's what's driving the market up. Number two on the markets, it's a little over what, 15,000. Let's do the real numbers. The market peaked in 2007, in October, at 14,000. And now they're saying, look, we're 1,000 points over it. Not if you do the math. if you do the math and just account for moderate inflation at 3%, the market should be at 15,774. It's not even back to 2008 levels. Now, yesterday, the market spiked up 200 points. On the good news, 179,000 jobs were produced. Wow. And then you look at what those jobs were. Retail trade, 27,000 jobs. Wholesale trade accounts, 8,000 jobs. Ambulatory health care services, oh, you know how much they pay, 15,000 jobs. Here's a big one for you. Everybody knows you can get rich on this and retire and live happily ever after as a waiter and a bartender. They accounted for 38,000 jobs. Hey, how about amusement, gambling, and recreation? Doesn't that sound like a fun job? 13,000 of those. And you keep going, oh, here is one that everybody loves to have. You get no benefits, no pensions, no sick days, no nothing. How about temporary help? 25,600. Oh, we lost jobs in manufacturing. Oh, you know those jobs that they created in the computer system and design? Only about 6,000? They were filled mostly by those wonderful H-1B visas. You know, those people out there in Silicon Valley love that they all pump for. We're too stupid to know what we're doing over here, so we have to bring in foreign help that we can pay a lot less money to. Those are the jobs that are being created. This thing is a scam.
Total scam. If you have a question for our guest is Gerald Celente, the phone number is 831-479-1080. So basically what you're saying, Gerald, is that we have, in essence, an artificial economy, if I hear you right.
It is. It's been pumped up. Look, you know, people are belly aching, you know, about, you know, Obama being a Marxist, a communist, this is, you know, socialism. No. Let me get this straight. We had a bailout too big to fail. In capitalism, there's no such thing. Exactly. And the financial institutions and the insurance companies. Oh, you know, I mean, you remember that AIG. I mean, nobody knew what the hell an AIG was until they took $13 billion of our dollars to give to the Goldman Sachs gang and bailing them out since. General Motors, Chrysler, this is not capitalism. The merger of state and corporate powers, by definition, is fascism. And that's what's taken over. It's the too big to fail. You look at the numbers. I'm not making this stuff up. All the money's going to the 1%. And that's not, you know, lefty talk. That's the St. Louis Federal Reserve. They're showing you where they just came out with a report. So the money's going to a very small group of people. I've got a new name for America. I call it Slavelandia. Because those are the kind of jobs that what are these kids getting out of college? You just saw these new job numbers come out. You think, well, isn't it wonderful? You're coming out with $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 worth of debt. You could get a job as a services to building and dwellings. They got 6,400 jobs, you know. Well, the jobs that the honest jobs that they did create are accounting and bookkeeping. Yeah, no, I wonder why. Because the government's screwing us at every angle. You need all these guys around you just so you can keep the money that you have, because the big guys, like the new trade representative that Obama just picked, Froman, yeah, he has $500,000 tucked away in the Cayman Islands. Oh, you remember Obama, the guy that was going to clean Washington, sweep it nice, and bring in all honest people. Same old group. It's the same mafia, Democrats, Republicans, Bananos and Gambinos, Lansky's and Schultz. It's all the same.
My guest is Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of the Trends Journal. You can reach him at Trends Journal. That's T-R-E-N-D-S journal.com. We've got a full board. Let's get to some of the callers here. Ryan is in Carmel Valley. You're on KSCO with my guest, Gerald Celente.
Oh, hello. This question is for Gerald. I'm a huge fan. I always listen to you on Alex Jones. I was just wondering, what's your prediction on the upcoming collapse, and When do you think it's going to happen? Do you think by the end of the year? What's the verdict?
You know, Ryan, it's so hard to pinpoint this because of all the dirty deals going on behind the scene. And again, this isn't a conspiracy theory. I'll throw out some facts for you. The Federal Reserve is buying $85 billion worth of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities a month. They're rigging the game. It's right in front of us. How about that LIBOR scandal? Oh, you remember the LIBOR scandal about a year ago when we found out that a couple of banks were rigging the interest rates to the tune of interest rates covering over $700 trillion worth of transactions? So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and you don't know whether the scheme undreamed of that they're going to happen next. Here's my belief in what's going to happen. I believe that the economy is going to continue to putter along the way it is. And I believe that the Federal Reserve is at some point going to stop, ease back on its so-called quantitative easing. And then you're going to see a rise in interest rates. When interest rates start rising to a level that's going to be unsustainable, because that's the only thing that's juicing the real estate market and the only thing that's juicing the stock markets, when that happens, they're going to go through a new round of quantitative easing. And that's when I believe that they'll run out of cards. But again, who knows? Because who would have ever thought they would have come up with a scheme called Too Big to Fail? Brought to you by Henry Paulson, the former CEO of the Goldman Sachs gang and then U.S. Treasury Secretary.
And Gerald, also Bernanke continues once again to foster all these conspiracy people say it's just obviously a part of Wall Street, a part of the establishment, that, again, the artificial economy, that all these numbers are completely, completely entrenched towards the so-called 1%. So what to make of that? Can we trust Bernanke?
By their deeds you shall know them. Again, anybody could do the research very easy. Go start Googling away. Look what happened when the real estate market started to show a little bit of weakness back in 2005. Bernanke said, "We've never had a real estate problem that spanned nationwide, and the subprime mortgages are not a problem." And then go back to as the recession began in December of 2007. "We're not in a recession, and we won't be going in one." And then go back into January of 2008, same thing. Then go look at the Federal Reserve minutes that they release 5 years later. Everyone on the Fed board got it wrong. So why would anybody believe them?
Yeah, appropriate question. Ryan, any more questions before we got to go?
Actually, if I could ask one more question.
When
the economy collapses, what do people do with their gold and silver? Is there going to be a place to exchange it for anything, or how does that work? I know it's a conductor of energy. Is there anything else we can do with our silver?
Yeah, you know, it's look at this. Suppose you were a Greek Cypriot a couple of months ago, and all of a sudden they closed the banks. And you're not going to get your money out until we're going to close the banks on Saturday, as they did when nobody could get their money out anyway. And we're going to open them up on Tuesday. Tuesday rolls around, they don't open the banks up. Well, we're going to open up on Thursday. Well, Thursday rolls around, they don't open them up. Well, we're going to open them up on next Tuesday. Next Tuesday rolls around, they still didn't open them up. If you had gold or silver, do you think you could have bought what you needed? And that's the way it's going to work. There are people that say that gold has no intrinsic value. Among them, by the way, Nouriel Roubini. He just got a lot of press recently saying that gold was going to go down to $1,000. And it had no intrinsic value and it was worthless other than, you know, a barbaric relic, to use his quote. Huh. That's funny. They've been using this stuff since the beginning of civilization. Oh, and by the way, you could look at Roubini's quote we had in the Trends Journal back in 2009, in December. He said gold would never break over $1,500 an ounce. And, of course, it almost hit $2,000 an ounce. But these are the people that they keep pushing out there, because what they're doing is they're lending credibility to paper money not worth the paper it's not printed on. because it's all being devalued in front of our eyes. So when I talk about gold having a value in silver, you know, you could hear the stories from World War II, on and on and on, how people bought their freedom with a couple of coins. And as they devalue the currencies, who's going to want them? So I'm in gold for the long haul, by the way. Could gold go down further? It can. I believe the bottom is around 1300. And just to give you our forecast for the Trends Journal, gold has to break above 1485, 1495 before it starts going on the next run. If it doesn't break that, it may stay in this trading range for a good year, year and a half. So, but I'm bullish on gold for the long term, because as long as they keep printing money backed by nothing, I'll give you an example of the stupidity coming out of the mainstream business media. They all cheered last week when the balance of trade figures came in. The United States trade deficit got deeper. That's good news, in case you didn't know. That means Americans are buying more. What imbecile could make that statement? Read Bloomberg, go to CNBC. It's good news that we're buying more than we're selling. So at some point, you know, I began buying gold in 1978. I remember when the trade numbers used to come out back then, and the gold market would move on them. Now it writes it off. The gold was going up back in the late 70s because of inflation and balance of trade deficits. Now balance of trade deficits, they cheer when our balance of trade is big. We buy more than we're selling. That's how sick the system has become.
Well, to be fair, Gerald, let me ask you a two-part question. And again, we got other callers, and we'll get to the callers pretty soon. I know we have limited time. Just from a layman's standpoint, who has no, as they say, no dog in this fight, you do feel, and the economy and how the economy goes up and down and how it fluctuates, the feeling, the perception at least, is that, and of course we had the jobs report yesterday, and it was sort of a, again, I'll use the term artificial, because the actual unemployment rate went up a bit, indicating that more people are at least now looking for a job, which raised it. The feeling out there is that gradually, if not spectacularly, the economy is getting better. Although, as you pointed out, most of the jobs were a lot of low-paying jobs. Americans still are earning less. The bridge between the middle class, if there is a middle class anymore, and the so-called 1%, the wealthy people, and the middle to lower class still seems to be a huge wedge. So is, given all that statistics, the feeling that the economy is getting better, that it's slowly but surely picking up steam, and that there's manufacturing is getting up, yet the companies are still not hiring. Two-part question. Is that the case in your mind, that it's an artificial feeling? That's number one. Number two, the possibility with all that money out there, are we headed down the path to inflation?
On the second part, I don't believe inflation in the standard term. For example, inflation based on supply and demand. If you have a short supply of a product and a high demand, the price of the product goes up, and that's inflationary. Well, I believe we're going to see an inflationary as a result of a devaluation of the currency. Mm-hmm. But there's something very interesting going on that's just preventing that from happening right now, and that is, the whole world is doing it. They're all devaluing their currencies. It's the Chinese, too. The Chinese are just doing differently. What they're doing is they're printing money up, and they keep their economies going by dumping it back into the system and building internally and buying up. You know, now they're going on a buying binge around the world. They're talking to Nicaragua now about building a new Panama Canal, but they'll bypass the Panama Canal. They're in Costa Rica. Well, we're waging war. The Chinese are waging business. Mm-hmm. But as I said, they're all doing it. They're all lowering their currency. So I don't see that kind of hyperinflation until it becomes a point where people start bailing out of the dollar around the world. If that happens, when that happens, or if it happens, then you'll see that kind of hyperinflation. Otherwise, I don't see it. As for the artificial economy, as I said, what we have is what we get. this is America today, and this is going to be America tomorrow until we have high-paying manufacturing jobs. And as I pointed out, when you look at the job data that just came out, where did we lose jobs? We lost jobs in manufacturing. So that's why we're not going to see any really high-paying, any kind of rebound worth anything, because the jobs that pay have been all shipped overseas.
Yeah, yeah. Our guest is Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of TrendsJournal.com. Let's go to the phone lines here. We're going to go to Wendy. Is in Ben Lomond, California. Hi, Wendy. You're on with Rich Lieberman and Gerald Celente on KSCO. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted more information on the running out of card syndrome. And since I called, you addressed the hyperinflation issue, which was, since what I understood it to be, was since it's going to be so universal, it'll be a little bit more everyone's a winner, everyone's a loser, because everyone's doing it.
Yeah, that's about it. Everyone's doing it.
So are we looking more at being, you know, having, you know, economic hitmen coming in and making us buy, you know, borrow for useless projects like dangerous bridges or desalinization plants that make, you know, mineralless water that isn't healthy for people or plants, and then we just bury ourselves in debt?
Well, there's one other one, and this is the one that nobody seems to want to talk about. It's what President Dwight D. Eisenhower talked about. The military-industrial complex. As I said, mm-hmm. while the United States is waging war, China's waging business.
Yeah.
And when you look, for example, you talk about building stupid stuff that we don't need. You look at these literal ships that they're building that everybody's complaining about that they're worthless. All of the pork projects from the military. How about this new, these F-35s? They have a price tag on them that's going to be, after it's all said and done, $1 trillion. And Wendy, how about the two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? According to the economists such as Stiglitz and others, we're looking at a price tag of $6 trillion. Could you imagine what $6 trillion in the U.S. economy would have done to this country? This, to me, is, again, and not coming from me, every time I say this, and it rolls off people's backs as though, you know, the next question is, what's for lunch? It's listening to General Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces during World War II, and a two-term president. Upon leaving office, he makes this elaborate speech about the military-industrial complex robbing us of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of our children. Here we are, and now we have this scandal going on with the National Security Agency listening in on everything that we do. And you know what the total? You know what the price tag for that is a year? $80 billion. We are hiring 835,000 flunkies to watch everything that we do.
I will go along with it. I think I read in a book on Blackwater that on the day before 9/11, Rumsfeld went into the Pentagon and said that the Pentagon was the problem when he needed to bring in more and more of the industrial military complex to control how we're going to defend ourselves. And that and there was a little exclamation point on that the next day. Has our military been taken over by people who are wasting, you know, huge amounts of money on worthless and very dangerous? Because do we have much reputation in the world anymore?
It's not even a question of that. It's a question of what are we doing? You know, what has happened to this country? You know, there used to be this quaint thing, they call them the founding fathers. The politicians love to throw out founding father lines every time there's an election. But boy, how about trying to put it in practice? Can you put, you know, try that one on for size? Because as, you know, we heard President Obama yesterday saying, you know, that they're watching us just enough, you know, not too much, not too little. Here's a quote. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And that was Benjamin Franklin. And then you listen to General Washington's farewell address, kind of like President Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell address. but a little different, not to become involved in foreign entanglements. And who are these people that have reversed everything that this country has been founded upon and have destroyed our Constitution?
We're talking with Gerald Celente. We have a brief few minutes left. We won't take much of your time left. Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal, trendsjournal.com. So, ironically, the president now is meeting with the leader of China. Of course, they're talking about the computer hacking situation. Gerald, you're in there. You're a fly on the wall. What is the president at all? What is he saying? Does it make any difference whatsoever in China? Continues to thrive on our debt. And lastly, also, two-part question not dealing with China, the instability in Europe still, and, of course, the Middle East. Where do you see that problem in, say, within the next year or two? Are we in for a collision course both in China and the Middle East? Give me your thoughts, please.
I believe we're in a collision course in the Middle East, most definitely. And as I said, we're looking at a parallel to the crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world war. And my greatest concern, and I've been writing about this for years, when the panic of 08 hit in our forecast forward, was when all else loses, when they're unable to solve the economic problems, they'll take you to war. Look what happened with this Boston Marathon thing.
Yeah.
They closed down 100 square miles. The cops and armies went into people's homes without warrants. You saw people coming up with their hands raised, women holding babies with one arm raised, and guys with enough armament on them to go through the Battle of the Bulge unscathed. Look how easy it is to rally the people around when there's a terrorist strike. Look what you know, people forget this with George Bush. He was hated before 9/11. The economy was in a severe recession. His popularity rating was plunging. All of a sudden, he shows up on the debris of 9/11 with that fireman next to him, and the whole game changed. And look what we have, the Patriot Act. Orwell could not have come up with a better name than that. So what I'm saying, Rich, is that when there is a national security issue, everybody rallies around the country. You're either with us or you're against us. You remember that one the other president's mouthpiece, Ari Fleischer. Now they got this guy, James Carney. I love his name, Carney, the nickname for a carnival man. He's in the perfect position for it. Step right up. Let me feed you some lies. Put your money down on Lady Luck. You know, but anyway, so what I'm saying is you saw what happens when there is a event that has national security implications. You could, the economy could go to crap. People won't care. They'll be more concerned about their fear and hysteria will take over the game.
Gerald Celente is the publisher of trendsjournal.com. That is trendsjournal.com. Gerald, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I know a lot of people have certain thoughts about you, mostly positive, skeptical, whatever. You're always, at the very least, very entertaining radio. I appreciate you appearing on my program at the last minute. Have yourself a great Saturday, and say hi to all your friends out there.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to Tanglewood for a beautiful concert today.
There you go. Well, enjoy, and we're having really wonderful weather out there, and hope your weather is nice, although I hear it's raining a little bit. But thank you for appearing on the Saturday special.
Well, thanks for having me, Rich. Bye-bye now.
You got it, as always. Gerald Celente, he, again, publisher of trendsjournal.com. This is Rich Lieberman. I am substituting for MZ today. Michael Zwirling would normally be in this seat. He is, however, out, I believe, in the great city of Chicago on business, and I am delighted to be here. Just a program note, gotta listen in the 11 o'clock hour. This is a guest that I've had on a couple of times on my show. Is Dr. Hassan Astani. Those of you listening out there, have invariably taken the Bay Bridge, and of course they're building the new Bay Bridge, and the new Bay Bridge, if you read the papers, if you read online, boatload of problems, including bad bolts, bad rods. And Dr. Hassan Astani is a professor at UC Berkeley, a civil engineer, a Fulbright honor, and he says flat out that this bridge is a white elephant, unsafe, could collapse. And anyway, we'll talk to the Dr. Hassan Astani after the 11 o'clock hour, and he'll be with us for the duration of the hour. I guess if we go to the people back at the mothership, do we want to take a spot right now, and I'll listen for your command, or should we continue?
There's a reason our sales are way up at North Bay Ford here in Santa Cruz. Put simply, we've got the best deals on the best vehicles. Hello, I'm Bobby Robinson. North Bay Ford is your locally owned dealership with low overhead, friendly, small town values, and great deals on new cars, trucks, and RVs. Get this, Bobby's Deal of the Week at North Bay Ford.
You've seen the television commercials. Motor Trend Magazine asked people who were driving Hondas and Toyotas to take the Ford EcoBoost Challenge, and they did, and found the Ford models with EcoBoost technology to be more fun to drive with more power and better mileage than their own cars. But why believe the commercials when you can take the Ford EcoBoost Challenge yourself at North Bay Ford?
When you need an economical focus for your college student, a new Explorer for Sunday drives, or a fleet of powerful F-350s for your Berry Ranch, look first to your friends and neighbors at locally owned North Bay Ford, 1999 Soquel Avenue, Santa Cruz, or on the web at northbayford.com.
We always knew Dr. Guy Peabody to be an excellent dentist, and so we're not surprised when once again Dr. Peabody was voted best dentist in Santa Cruz County in the Good Times Reader's Poll. But you do not need a reader's poll to know how good Dr. Peabody is. Just ask his patients.
Hi, I'm Robert. I have found Dr. Peabody to be a wonderful dentist, and I would most highly recommend him to anyone.
My name's Ramona. My dentistry has never been better. I have beautiful teeth now. It was a very comfortable, delightful experience, and I would recommend him to anyone.
My name is Terry. I am terrified of going to the dentist, and they told me about the Guy Peabody, sedated dentistry. They're really great people.
Visit drpeabody.com, that's drpeabody.com, or better yet, give Dr. Peabody's office a call at 457-0343 and be warmly welcomed and assisted in scheduling your appointment. That's 457-0343. You will be happy you called Santa Cruz's choice for best dentist.
Coast Paper and Supply has been family-owned and operated since 1948. They have a wide array of products available, including brand name and eco-friendly cleaning supplies, paper goods, and compostable plates, cups, and cutlery. Whether your needs are for business or home, Coast Paper and Supply's friendly and reliable staff have what you're looking for. They even accommodate special orders. You can find them at 151 Josephine on River Street in Santa Cruz, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30, or call at 831-423-3350. Coast Paper and Supply is a proud member of Think Local First.
In celebration of World Oceans Day on Saturday, June 8th, the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary invites you to a one-day showing of the Beneath the Waves Film Festival at the Sanctuary Exploration Center. The festival includes talks by marine scientists, live music, hands-on activities, plus ocean and coastal exhibits. Admission is free. That's Saturday, June 8th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sanctuary Exploration Center, across from the Santa Cruz Wharf. Come have fun and explore beneath the waves.
Issues and entertainment. That's AM 1080 KSCO.
We are back on the Saturday special. Good morning, everybody. It is Rich Lieberman. I am on this station and on the mothership station, KOMY. A little bit before 10:40, we, of course, just talked to a great guest. Always love to have him on. And that is Gerald Celente from TrendsJournal.com. If you have any reaction to what he said, like to offer your own comment, assessment of the economy, you may call. Our phone number is 479-1080. That's 479-1080, area code 831. If you want to follow me on Twitter, those of you on Twitter, I am at R. Lieberman, R-L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N, 2529. If you want to email, it's rich@ksco.com. Also, those of you who might want to give me a text, to text the program, 415-999-4454. Once again, 415-999-4454 to text. But the easiest way of participating is just to phone in, 831 area code 479-1080. Gerald mentioned the whole deal about the president meeting with the Chinese leader. Major topic this week, and I brought it up, of course, on Thursday, is the whole deal of this privacy issue, major issue involving the administration and your privacy, and of course having to do with the Verizon accounts of 121 million customers, mostly business customers. And the president has been taking a lot of heat on that subject from very unlikely people in institutions, including the New York Times. The New York Times, a major editorial on its front page yesterday, saying that the Obama administration has no credibility left. Ari Fleischer, you remember him. Ari Fleischer, former press secretary to the Bush 43 administration. Ari Fleischer agrees with the president. Senator Lindsey Graham agrees with these acts committed by and in full force by the NSA and by the intelligence apparatus in our own country. And I know I shocked a lot of people and angered a lot of people and say, hey, look, if you want to fault the Obama administration, fault them on other things. Fault them on the IRS issue. Find fault with them on the president's lack of transparency with regards to press conferences and perhaps any other issue. But this is an issue, really, that's not really an issue, folks. In my contention, and shared by others to some degree, look, we've been spied on, if you want to call it that, or intruded upon, really, but not just this administration, but by the Bush 43 administration, and Bush 41, and Clinton and Carter. It goes on and on. And did it intensify after 9/11? Well, of course it did. And as I said on my own program, that wake up. We're not in the same world in which we were in, and which we are accustomed to being in. You know, the rules have changed, whether we like it or not. And I said half jokingly, with a little bit of a twinkle in my eye, hey, look, if you don't want to be subjected to any privacy issues, you don't want the government looking into your affairs, then get rid of your computer. And get rid of your cell phone. 479-1080 is our phone number, area code 831. And another thing I said was this: I'm not shocked. Everybody is all surprised. Oh my goodness. They're looking into our accounts. They're perusing into our cell phone records. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not news. That's not news. This has been going on for years. 7 years to be exact, officially, and unofficially, probably a lot more than that. And for the life of me, I don't understand. Wait a minute, redact that. I don't get the whole fact that a lot of you are surprised. Now, is there something good of this? I don't know. I don't know. I understand the resentment. I understand the whole fear, and particularly in confluence with the gun situation, and people are all worried, and we're going to hear about the Constitution again a million times. But that's the world we live in today. Would you rather, and I'm not defending the government, or any government for that matter. I'm just of the mindset that this is going on. One of the reasons why we go to the airport, we get patted down, and we get scoped, and we get touched by those annoying things. And when we go to the train station, and if we go out and about, things are not the same for a reason. And here in America, in particular, go to Europe, go to London now, and see all the cameras, and all of the little cops with the, you know, the little bobbies with the little goofy hats on top of them that are hidden now. Go to Europe. Go to France and Spain in Russia with their problems with these Chechenians. You know, we live in a kind of an artificial land where we have great freedoms. We do. But along with that, we also have to take into account that this is not Mayberry anymore. Never has been. And that we live in a different world. You know, the dynamics have changed. There's an awful lot of people out there who would like us to be devastated and to do more harm. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is, as I said before, we're all surprised. You have a computer. You're being observed, more than likely. It's not an Obama issue. It's not a Bush issue. This transcends Democrat, Republican. Yeah, you want to listen to Rand Paul and his father, Ron Paul. The same people that want to isolate us and say that we should have an isolationist policy with regards to foreign policy. Let's go to some of the phones here and see what's on people's mind. We're going to go to Denise is in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO, the Saturday special with Rich Lieberman.
Good morning. I just had a thought that the reason why cell phones and computers were broadcast to the general public at all in the first place was to spy on us. That could have been the bottom line idea.
No.
And
well,
the other thing I wanted to say...
You're saying that it was done as a means to spy... What do you mean, spy on it? You mean to have the ability, the each individual instrument? Of course, because they have GPS devices. But that's...
Yeah.
I know. You're too much of a, in my opinion, a conspiratorial sort to indicate that these companies had intentions on spying on us. I don't think I'm not that of a much of a pessimist.
Okay, that's cool, but I think just for one day, since there really are more of us, the big U, than there are of them, little T, we should just stop using for just one day or 1 hour collectively.
Well,
shut it all down.
They, you know, they tried that. They have a 24 hour turn off or something, and you know it's like the same people that send out emails or tell people not to go to the gas and don't gas up for a day. You know, Denise, mm-hmm. unfortunately or fortunately or realistically, it just doesn't work. We're so wired, pun intended, to the grid, our own personal grid. The country right now, the civilization right now, for better or worse, is run on computers. It's just the way the world is.
It just seems like it's all by design. But there really are more of us than there are of them, just something to think
well,
about.
Unfortunately or fortunately, that's the way the world is. You can complain about it and have feelings about it in sort of a negative tone, but that's just the way the world is these days. Thanks for the call, Denise. Let's go to our next caller. We go to Annalise is in Soquel, California. You're on the Saturday special with Rich Lieberman. Good afternoon. I'm so used to saying afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning. It's still morning.
Hi.
For another few minutes here. I wanted to say how much I appreciated your first program with Mr. Salente. Yes, was very, very interesting, humorous, which I happen to really like, the way that he can combine intelligent comment with humor and a slightly snarky undertone of real truth.
Well, he tells you the truth.
Humor.
That's
in
his
humor.
He tells
you
the truth.
But you better look at what he's saying because it's truth. And I really appreciated that program. In fact, I really appreciate a really intelligent Saturday morning program that addresses real issues that are very germane today. The issue of privacy, however, I have a question about. I'm neither for or against Republican or Democratic positions. I'm really an issue person that puts me in a kind of peculiar place, but that's okay. I'm happy to be there, because that's how I look at the world, by the issue, not by the party. I wanted to say, however, when you come down to privacy issues and the need for people's personal privacy under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, to say that we are all to be suspect, and to have that just put out as a general statement, yes, we need to have surveillance at some point of designated areas. And I suppose it comes down to how do you find those designated persons of interest or people who are really suspect unless you do some kind of surveillance. But to make it an open field that everybody is suspicious, under suspicion, whether or not they have any reason to be, every single citizen has lost his right of any kind of privacy, is an enormous undercutting of the U.S. constitutional right.
Well, let me answer your question. Let me answer because I know what you're asking. That's a very legitimate question, very, very legitimate concern. And your question is, in many regards, I think, at the heart of people's fears and very legitimate concerns about this.
So
first
that we
off,
don't turn fear into hysteria about everything about our life.
Like I mentioned, the New York Times is hardly a right-wing institution, was very, very disturbed over this, and on their front page, editorial page yesterday, did say that the Obama administration has lost credibility. Several, mostly non-Republican people, and Republicans alike, found major fault with this policy enacted by the Obama administration. But given the fact that since 9/11, we don't know about all of these. We've read about these terrorist plots that have been thwarted, that have been put off, that have been intercepted by our intelligence agency. Look, I'll give it to you, Annalise, real simple. We're a vast world. I mean, we have 330 million people just in this country alone. We have people that are out to do us harm. Doesn't justify the possibility, as I said yesterday or the day before, that these new methods and these new techniques have been hoisted on us. But these have been going on for years now. They've just been brought to light, and they've been outdated. There's been a lot of leaks within government institutions like our CRA, CIA, FBI, NSA. This has been happening and mostly pronounced since, of course, September 11, 2001. We are a free society, but we also have limitations to a free society, just as we have limitations to any of the freedoms that we enjoy. So, again, I'm not shocked at this. Is there going to be, and has there been, and is the system out there prone to a bad apple or two or rogue people that can abuse this power? Of course, but we have checks and balances on that. And ideally, our checks and balances, our journalistic institutions, you know, our media that act as a watchdog, people that are whistleblowers with regards to privacy. Call me a naive person, but I'm under the belief that, sure, if somebody, and there's always going to be somebody or some person or a group that abuses this power, and we'll deal with it at that time. But unfortunately, the world in which we live in today, it's changed. And so therefore, these new enactments, this Verizon policy, the deal with this PRISM, which came out yesterday, this whole PRISM issue having to do with intelligent gathering and looking at people and businesses and so forth. I'm not as paranoid as other people. Look, I haven't done anything worthy to which they're going to go spy on me. And if they want to, more power to them. I have nothing to hide. So, but our society is just a little different these days. And, there are people, again, and institutions and state-sponsored terrorist organizations that want to do us quite a bit of harm. I'm willing to take my chances and let the people that look at us and examine us and, perhaps have access to our files. You know, I know I'm opening up a Pandora's box, but that's just the way I feel.
Okay. So how do you stop people from being so paranoid or so frightened of everything they say?
I don't think you could stop people.
I'm asking a different question. How do you give people the confidence to be able to speak out, to be able to say what they feel, even to people that they know, their family, their friends, whatever, political affiliations, if they're afraid to say it because
right
some big...
What are you doing right now?
I'm doing it because I live without fear.
No, I didn't mean it sarcastically. I said...
I live without
rhetorically.
Fear.
Okay, well,
I
think it's
choice.
Like, you know what, Annalise? It's like my friend Gerald, who's from back east. You know, there used to be a line when people go to back east or New York and people would be all jittery because they'd go on the subway and they are worried they were going to get mugged. Okay. The old line is this. If you look around and you're paranoid and you're worried, then chances are you're going to get hit. If you act like nothing's happening and you live your life, everything's going to be fine.
As long as you're doing things that are right. I really want to thank you for taking the question and for answering it so intelligently. Because I think it's our time has come. This time has come. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. This is Rich Lieberman on the Saturday special. KSCO, we have a terrific hour. I advise you, hands on the wheel, as somebody used to say. If you're in the car listening, in your house, on the internet, wherever you might be, do give a listen in the following hour after the news. We are going to talk to Dr. Hassan Astani, and I've had him on my show. He's been widely quoted and interviewed by Sacramento Bee, by The Chronicle, CNN. He flat out says this new Bay Bridge is a disaster waiting to happen. And the Bay Bridge, a lot of you invariably have driven it, drive it, even those of you down in the Monterey, Santa Cruz area, come up north to San Francisco and have dinner or what have you, or have friends in other parts of the Bay Area. And we have a bridge that's about 95% done that has serious issues involving it. And we'll have Dr. Astani on at 11 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones on the Saturday special. We go to Paul is in Aptos, California. You're on with Rich Lieberman, KSCO. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, good discussion. I think we need to have an open discussion about this. My sense is I'm more worried about private companies targeting me based on phone and computer records than I am the government overseeing my safety.
They already care. I said these private companies that you're worried about, it's a very legitimate issue. They already care. You know, you sound like a pretty reasonable guy. People forget this, and I'm glad you brought that up. Do you have a computer, Paul?
Of course. I have two, three.
All right. Well, I did mean that to be funny. Sometimes a lot of people don't still. Companies know your records. They know your personal information. If you pay by credit card, if you deal with a company in that regard, they know your correspondence. They know a lot of things. Now, is there any kind of, I'm not suggesting any sort of, electronic foul play. My point is they have access to that information already. I mean, you give your social security number out today. If you get a loan today to a bank, you have to give your social security number. What do you think? You think that bank just is going to, you're going to get, susceptible to any kind of a possible issue down the road? Of course. Then does it mean, is it going to happen necessarily? No. But what I'm saying is we already have that with regards to companies.
Right. So let me just share a personal experience. I recently had my credit card stolen.
Okay.
I was able to call a credit card company. They were able to determine whether or not there were any transactions. If they were, I wouldn't have been held responsible. But I was able to cancel the use of that credit card in a heartbeat. So while there's targeting, there's also protection. So we should have that discussion. I would make one observation that those that want complete surveillance about what this program is, we should immediately make sure that the current FBI director that's being proposed get confirmed.
Paul, I got to go. We're running up on the clock. I don't mean to cut you, but we're running out of time. So, look, very legitimate concern. I think that will take care of itself if there's issues. There is the press out there. There's watchdogs that will answer to your concerns. We're at the end of the hour. Dr. Hassan Astani will join me. This is radio station AM 1080 KSCO Monterey Santa Cruz. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. I'm Pam Coulter. The search is on for the equipment operator involved in the Philadelphia demolition collapse that killed 6 people and injured 13. KYW reporter Steve Tawa says Sean Benschop may have been working under the influence.
Sources say blood tests detected the presence of a prescription painkiller and marijuana, and that the 42-year-old heavy equipment operator's alleged use of pot could have impaired his judgment. Mayor Nutter says investigations on several fronts will determine what human factors, errors, or judgments played a role in the deadly collapse.
If that were true, obviously, that is a significant problem.
Sources say Benschop also faces charges of risking a catastrophe and reckless endangerment. Steve Tawa, CBS News, Philadelphia.
President Obama's winding up his summit with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Palm Springs, California.
This is Steve Futterman in Palm Springs. No one expects any dramatic breakthroughs or announcements from these 2 days of meetings, but everyone feels these are important talks, allowing the two men to discuss areas of common interest like North Korea and areas where there may be disagreements like cyber espionage. Just as important may be the social aspect of this, allowing the two men to simply get to know each other a bit better.
Police in Santa Monica say the gunman killed his father and brother at their home before going to the nearby college and killing 2 more people yesterday. CBS's John Miller.
What they've been able to glean from neighbors was that there was an ongoing family issue in this house. Neighbors said this was the son, one of the victims was his brother, his father's, and that there had been a divorce, that there had been family problems.
The gunman was fatally shot by police. The first named storm of the season led to a rescue on the high seas.
It was a daring Coast Guard helicopter rescue of 4 experienced sailors from a disabled 35-foot boat 65 miles off the South Carolina coast in the worst of Tropical Storm Andrea's winds and high seas.
It was time to jump ship.
I'm a little woozy, you know, like I'm still moving from the ocean.
I've been in other, you know, sticky situations, but never quite to this degree.
The men left the British Virgin Islands 2 weeks ago to deliver the boat to Norfolk, Virginia, when they lost all power and ran into Andrea's wrath. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Pentagon leaders have promised Congress they'll fix the problem of sexual assaults in the military. One of the first held to account, the commander of armed army forces in Japan. CBS's Mike Lyon says two-star General Michael Harrison's been suspended for failing to properly investigate a sexual assault complaint.
General Harrison gets caught in a position where either his staff or the chain of communication wasn't such that either possibly wasn't brought to his attention or he didn't react to it in a manner that was fast enough.
Newark Mayor Cory Booker announced today he'll be in the Democratic primary in August for the Senate seat of the late Frank Lautenberg. This is CBS News.
You have a mortgage and a load of other debt. Wouldn't it be great if it all just went away? 9-year mortgage can change your life.
We paid off all of our bills.
All your debt, including your mortgage, in as little as 9 years?
We will have saved over $313,000 in interest payments.
Even have more money left over each month?
It lowered our monthly payments by a little over $500.
9-year mortgage.
Where have they been all of our life?
If you knew about something like that, you'd want to tell everybody.
Hi, I'm Larry Ruff, president of 9-year mortgage. This is unlike anything you have ever seen before, and it will absolutely not harm your credit. Order your free CD now by going to 9yearmortgage.com. Learn how you can eliminate all of your debt, including your mortgage, much sooner than you ever dreamed possible. The more debt you have, the more we can help.
Learn how to eliminate your debt today. Go to 9yearmortgage.com.
This works.
Don't wait. Order your CD today. Go to 9yearmortgage.com now. Again, that's 9yearmortgage.com.
A cold nose and a wagging tail are being used to calm some air travelers.
It's a job for pooches that are very special and able to work on a slack 4-foot leash. The job of an airport therapy dog is catching on like wildfire at the larger airports, according to Billy Smith with Therapy Dogs Incorporated. The furry friends that ease air traveler stress must be stress-free.
Calm, cool, collected, has been doing therapy work, is used to that hustle and bustle, being handled by a lot of people.
Among the airports using therapy dogs are Los Angeles, San Jose, and Miami. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
The dogs would have been helpful at Newark Airport last night. A JetBlue flight from Boston to Palm Beach was diverted after the plane was struck by lightning. There were 148 passengers on board, and no one was hurt. They were able to catch another flight that left after midnight. The weather on the East Coast has been stormy thanks to Tropical Storm Andrea. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
KSCO News Time, 11:05. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update. Traffic south 17 extremely heavy from Campbell, and it's going to last south all the way through the summit. That whole way is going to be backed up. A lot of people head in this way into Santa Cruz around the beaches, so that area, that main thoroughfare from the Silicon Valley to Santa Cruz is backed up. Not helping matters was an early three-car crash, 17 at Glenwood Drive. Possibly three cars, no injuries there, but is causing a visual hazard. Traffic as a result, south 17, heavy from Campbell through the reservoir, not getting back to the limit till you are south of the summit. And even then, through Scotts Valley, will be at the limit. Everything grinds to a halt again in Santa Cruz as a lot of people, again, come into the beach as we have a lot of warm temperatures across the Monterey Bay and Bay Area, inland interior areas, some of the microclimates, a lot of 100-degree marks, upper 90s for places like Morgan Hill, Gilroy, Hollister, King City. Low to mid-80s at the coast in Santa Cruz. If you're looking to really cool down, head to the Monterey Peninsula, middle 60s there. Time for hour two of the Saturday special on this Saturday. Filling in for MZ, Rich Lieberman.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
And good morning. It is the Rich Lieberman program here on the Saturday special, substituting for Michael's whirling. Michael is off on business in Chicago, and I'm delighted to be asked to and participate in today's program. Once again, we thank Dr. Hassan Astani will be joining me in a moment talking about the Bay Bridge and the issues that surround it. We thank Gerald Salente from the TrendsJournal.com joining us in the first hour, and he is always an interesting guest. As you've been reading about down here, and I know a lot of you folks don't necessarily take the Bay Bridge all the time, but it is the largest public works project in California history. We're talking about a $7 billion to be exact, and just an incredible amount of money to build this new structure. My guest is Dr. Hassan Astani, joining us here in the 11 o'clock hour, tenured professor from UC Berkeley. He's a civil engineer, just an award-winning person on academia with regards to bridges and public works and infrastructure. And it is my honor to have him on the program right now as we bring him up. There we go. Bring him up onto the program here on the air. Dr. Astani, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rich. This is my honor, actually, to be able, through your generosity, to reach people who are actually paying my salary, paying university to have this great institution to teach students and so forth. So it's a great honor to be on your show and reach your listeners.
Well, it's a vital, vital, vital story. Again, if this were something, we're talking about a little roadway or a highway, it would be bad enough. But we're talking about the Bay Bridge, and let's start off with news that happened yesterday that came out. You've quoted many a times and talked about the man who is in charge of the bridge engineer, the Caltrans bridge engineer, a gentleman by the name of Brian Maroney. And this is off of the, I mentioned the Chronicle earlier. It's not the Chronicle. This is the Bay Area News Group from yesterday's website. Says here, the news span is the headline. News span much safer. I'm going to read directly from the quote or directly from the story and then get to the quote. If the Loma Prieta earthquake were to strike again, the new eastern span of the Bay Bridge would be substantially safer. in the 1936 cantilevered truss span motor is used today, according to a new analysis presented to the Bay Area legislatures on Thursday. The 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake, the 7.1 Temblor, centered 60 miles southeast of the Bay Bridge, exceeded the original bridge's capacity to withstand the shaking, but it wouldn't have come close to taxing the new span, according to a line graph prepared, and as I just mentioned, Caltrans bridge engineer Brian Maroney. This is a direct quote, Dr. Astani. Quote, 80 years ago, engineers didn't understand or fully respect vibrations generated by an earthquake. When you look at this line graph, it is easy to see why the eastern span failed in 1989. That's an end quote. He goes on to say that this bridge can more than handle bolts, bad bolts, and rods, a moderate quake, and you quite pronouncedly disagree. Explain.
This is amazing, Rich. This
program, this is just in yesterday's Bay Area news group.
This program, this 1 hour will be amazing. Let me tell you at the beginning, and at the end, I'll come back to you and say, was it amazing or not? It's absolutely amazing what will happen here. What I like to do is this. I like to just take that one Contra Costa story that they had on May 6th, that you quoted some of the parts, and updated on 7, and explain to your listeners what this story said, and kind of have a fact check and discuss a few items, and just in half an hour clearly try to tell your listeners what was here and what was presented to elective officials. It's amazing. I mean, this article and that curve that they're talking about, in fact, shows what I was telling everyone for 15 years, that this bridge is not designed for earthquake that they should design it for. The earthquake is designed for this bridge such that this bridge can take it. If you allow me, let's just focus on that story from beginning to end, and I explain important parts, and I explain to your listeners what that curve that Dr. Brian Maroney showed to state legislators. First of all, I know Dr. Brian Maroney for many, many years, so anything I say about him is not personal. It's not Dr. Brian Maroney, the person that I know, and he knows me. We have worked together for many years with Caltrans, until I criticized this bridge, and I was kind of like cast out that no one works with him. But all the discussion here will be on him, because he's the chief engineer of this bridge. So his position is chief engineer of bridge, and he is presenting this information to state elective officials who are going to decide about our lives. So it's fair to name his name. Otherwise, I would usually go general that, chief engineer said this, that. But in this case, very serious, because he is registered professional engineer. And one of the canons of professional engineering, I am also a registered professional engineer. If you are not registered professional engineer, you cannot practice in U.S. You have to be registered professional engineer. Mm-hmm. And he is, and I am. And professional engineers, they have canons. It's like oaths that doctors take. We have also something like that. And if we don't follow the canons, we lose our license. I will leave it to the registration board to look into this item regarding Dr. Maroney, but I'll focus on facts and see what he did during the last week, 2 presentations to 2 elected official body, and what he said, what this story in Contra Costa is. So when I mentioned Dr. Brian Maroney, really it's like chief engineer. So it's not his person. It is the Caltrans official in charge of this bridge who is put before elected officials who are going to decide our safety on this bridge for 150 years to come, millions and millions of people. It's fair to name his name, that he knows that he was in charge and he said this and this was wrong. One thing before I go into this is that what bothers me, there are 2 things that bother me. One is, certainly it doesn't bother me if Caltrans gives misinformation to to state legislators. Not as much, because it bothers, of course, serious business. Caltrans is in charge of our safety, and they are giving completely erroneous information to state legislatures, and I'll show you why. But what bothers me more are two things. One is the way some newspapers are handling Caltrans information. Some of them have become public relations, attachment to public relations office of Caltrans. Some of
maybe not so much the Sacramento Bee or the San Francisco Chronicle.
The only exceptions, yes, are those. Jackson and Charles, they're the exception. But
Dr. Astani, we have a different audience. Since we have limited time, let's go to the heart of the matter. What is wrong?
Okay.
Go to the bolts and the rods today and give us your assessment of why it is a failure that's about to happen and what could possibly be a catastrophic event taking place.
Rich, it is right here in this article. So the heading of this story in the Contra Costa Times that was written by Lisa Werder-Bruggen, if I pronounced correct, says New Bay Bridge much safer than old span, comma.
Which is a crock, according to you.
No. Let me read it, and then I'll tell you how I'm going to fact check this thing. Very professionally and as a professional engineer, I'm just going to look at it, fact check it, no emotions, no politics, nothing, just facts. So I'm checking the facts here. New Bay Bridge much safer than old span, comma, new analysis show. First of all, when you read the article and you go back and look at the curve and this and that, there was absolutely no new analysis to start. Because when you read new analysis shows, you don't know anything about what happened behind the scene. You think that there was a new analysis. In fact, when I read this heading, I said, oh, great. Finally, Caltrans decided to have independent analysis. Even though I didn't believe that they did independently, but at least one analysis done. So I'm reading it. There was absolutely, now this is on the part of this story and the reporter that they should be careful when they say new analysis shows, they are really telling the readers that there was some analysis and general public doesn't know what this thing is. They think that really there was analysis. So to start with, the title of this story is completely erroneous. There was no new analysis. So reporters should be careful. When Caltrans tells them, oh, we did new analysis, they should not buy it. They should ask for the report. In fact, that was what I was going to ask. Okay, great. There was new analysis. I'm going to ask and find where is the report. They should immediately say, where is the report of this new analysis? And there was no new analysis. So what is there is this. Now, we go through it and they say that, okay, if Loma Prieta strike again, the new steam span of Bay Bridge would be substantially safer than the 1936 cantilever span. This is completely erroneous. Now, Caltrans tells the reporter, and the reporter quotes it and writes down, so public read it and said, oh, that's the fact. But then they say 80 years ago, engineers did not understand or fully respect vibration generated by an earthquake.
Right.
That is to some extent correct, but they don't know, and Dr. Maroney does not say that. In fact, Bay Bridge was designed 80 years ago, but at that time they used methods that we use today. So in case of Bay Bridge, that does not apply. But even if you accept that, Bay Bridge and Golden Gate Bridge were designed for 10% G. Let me explain this to your audience so they know what those curves were and what goes. When we do earthquake engineering and design structures for earthquake forces, we establish how much acceleration earthquake will create horizontally in this structure. It's like, you know, when you are in a bus and bus pushes the brake, the driver, right? You feel that you are horizontally pushed, kind of like forward or backward, right? That is the acceleration force that is created in your body because the floor of the bus slowed down or accelerated. So it's the Newton's law. Acceleration times mass is the force. Right. So if you weigh like 150 pounds, 200 pounds, when the car accelerates, usually let's say it creates like half G. You will feel, if you are 200 pounds, you will feel a force of 100 pounds pushing you horizontally. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like clear? Now, I'm trying to give Earthquake Engineering 101, so we are all, your listeners and you and I are on the same page, and I can tell you what Dr. Mooney told elective officials, completely erroneous information. So we do the same thing for bridges and buildings. So we figure out what earthquakes can happen around the bridge or building. In this case, it's clear. It is the Hayward Fault rupture. It's established that it's going to be magnitude 7.3. We know what acceleration that creates, and we know if that acceleration reaches the foundations of this bridge, like your shoes, your foot in the bus, we know what will happen. It's going to shake this bridge, and then the bridge weight will be excited, and then you will have horizontal seismic forces. Like pushing you in the bus, the earthquake will push this bridge around horizontally. So with that notion in mind, what we do is we try to find out what is the earthquake that's going to reach the bridge, how much acceleration comes to this bridge, and then we subject this bridge to that acceleration and see how much acceleration is created in this bridge horizontally. As soon as we established it, we multiply that acceleration by the weight of the by the mass of the bridge, and we get the force of earthquake. Very simple. This is just physics 101. And design the bridge to have strength to resist that force. So when we establish the earthquake, that is done by seismologists. They tell us, engineers, I'm a bridge engineer, structure engineer, and I go to seismologists and tell them, when Hayward Fault ruptures, what is the ground motion that comes from that? And they tell me that this is the ground motion. Then, which actually they have told us, it is 30% G. In other words, any structure around the bay that is going to be subjected to Hayward Fault motion will see at least 30% G, right? Now, when you get that 30% G, which means every structure will have 30% of its weight as a force pushing it horizontally. Is that kind of like making sense? Now, for this bridge, then, you take that 30% ground motion, and then you find out what that ground motion will create in this particular structure. That step comes to this curve that Dr. Mooney presented to legislature. So what we do is this. We get the ground motions from seismologists. Then we have something that's called, this is important, acceleration response spectra. Please forgive me to get into a kind of lecture, but it's important.
Well, let's do this. Let's do this. It's okay. We have limited time, so let's do this.
I will do it fast.
Okay. All right.
If you give me just 10 minutes, I'll finish it then, because it's very important.
Sure.
What happens then this curve, I'll just do this in 2 minutes and then get to the point that you were making.
Sure.
This curve has vertical axis is the acceleration, which means it's the earthquake force. So imagine there's a curve, vertical axis is the earthquake force, the horizontal axis is very important. The horizontal axis is the period of vibration, which means how much it takes for this bridge to go one way and come back another way. You have to find out that one. And then if you know the period, which is the time that it takes for any structure to go one way and come back during earthquake, you enter that period, and then you read on the vertical axis how much force this thing is taking, right? So the curves that Dr. Mooney presented to state legislatures are these response acceleration spectra. And he showed them that he states, this is very important in this story, he states that Loma Prieta had 20% acceleration, which means Loma Prieta created 20% weight in this bridge horizontally, and that's what Loma Prieta did. The bridge was designed for 10%. This is very important. The bridge was designed for 10% acceleration, which means original bridge was designed for 10% of its weight, pushing it horizontally. And he states, this is very important, Rich, he states, we are designing this bridge for 180%. That is absolutely incorrect, and he knows that. What is this is that if you look at this curve, there's a place on this curve, and I'm sure all engineers out there know what I'm talking about. this curve has a point that actually, yes, the acceleration will be 1.8 g, which means if your structure has that period, that acceleration will happen. That will be like 180% g. But that period belongs to half a second. This bridge has a period of 5 seconds. So when he presented this, he should not have said that we are designing this bridge for 180% G. He should have said that, look at the 5 seconds. I'm looking at that curve, and I'll be happy to send this to you to post on your site.
Then sure,
for 5 second period, which is the point that you have to choose from this curve, for 5 seconds, you can listen to this. For 5 second period, which is the correct period for this bridge that they are designing, the acceleration is only 13%. 13%.
So, doctor, bottom line.
It's very important because
I know it's very important. That's why I had you. I've been chided. I've been criticized by a few people because they said, why are you having this guy on again? I'm having this guy on again. And he's a professor. He's a civil engineer. This man is academically respected and has been quoted and interviewed because I read this article yesterday and I was flabbergasted because as I asked you the other day, Dr. Astani, that my great fear was that Caltrans and their various engineers who are so connected to this that are intertwined with this massive public works project and a central traffic artery, one of the top two or top five in the country, that they would cherry pick information that would benefit their own feelings and that we would have a result. And then I read a day later in yesterday's Bay Area news group precisely what I had feared, which leads me to believe that they are somehow going to try to get this thing open on Labor Day, and that's a travesty, and that's why I'm having you on.
No way I can assure you, because I'm actually writing this whole thing now. I'm going to post it on my website. I'm going to show in writing that what Dr. Maroney presented to state legislators, saying that we are designing this bridge for 180% of G, that's absolutely false, and he knows that, because that is only when period is half a second.
Why is he doing that?
Because the whole story, you mentioned that last time, actually, in one of your shows when I was listening, you brought this up. I'm not a politician.
Right.
I'm not a social scientist.
Right.
But Dr. Maroney has his name nowhere on the drawings, nowhere on this project. His project, the chief engineer. But I look at the drawings, they are signed by very junior Caltrans engineers. Dr. Maroney is not there. But he was chief engineer from beginning. He made all these bolt decisions. He made all these well decisions. Every decision was his to approve. Yet, he has no name anywhere. Let's say that this bridge, they push it, and then he's told by Caltrans. Caltrans director doesn't say it. They put him there. He tells the state legislator that we are designing it for 180%, whereas they are designing it for 13%. This is their curve, Rich. It's very important. I'm quoting their curve. And any engineer looking at this curve will know that I'm correct. And Dr. Maroney misled them by showing the top of the curve, saying that that's 180%, but that's for 0.5 seconds. So Dr. Maroney knowingly, this is very serious, knowingly deceives elected officials who are in charge of public safety, telling them that we are designing this bridge for 180% G, whereas actually the bridge is designed for 13% G. And if this bridge is opened, and I have no doubt now that this bridge
tell us what you believe could happen if there was even any, the remote, even a less than moderate earthquake.
I'm finishing an analysis. It might take about 2 months to finish completely, and I'm going to release the results. These are numbers, not opinion. If this bridge is open the way it is now, and there's a talk that we are going to open it and then fix these bolts, fix these wells, or we are going
to leave
the well. If this bridge is open, a moderate earthquake, even magnitude 6, will cause major collapse, because this bridge is designed for 13% according 13% G. Now I have the document. Caltrans has released this document. This PowerPoint that I have in front of me shows they are designing this bridge for 13% of G earthquake, and they know it. And this bridge, even without bolt failure, without weld failure, cannot survive the 30% G that's coming from Hayward Fault.
Unbelievable.
Now, this is
Let's
all
do
numbers,
this, Dr. Astani. Let's take a short break. Let's take a short break. See if we can get some callers who want to talk to my guest, Dr. Hassan Astani, professor at UC Berkeley. He is has been quite critical and quite specific about the very, very obvious faults, according to him, and based upon what I have read and seen from him, and what you've read in the papers and what you've read online and what you've heard about the massive bolt and rot issue facing the Bay Bridge, the new eastern portion, which is currently under construction. Our phone number is 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
The original Stagnaro family has been in business since 1879. The Stagnaro name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. The family's Gilda's Restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters of the Santa Cruz area. It's where fishermen gather each morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hi. Dino looks forward to meeting you at Gilda's on the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
It is raucous. It is fun. So get up and go for it. Take the family. Take the friends. Take the entire neighborhood to the rip-roaring racing fun at Ocean Speedway in Watsonville.
Friday night is USAC night number two at Ocean Speedway. That means loud and raucous racing with USAC CRA 410s, 4-bangers, modifieds, and sport mods. Adults $20, seniors 65+ $19, kids 6-12 $15. Details at oceanspeedway.com.
Ocean Speedway is located at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, just 2 miles east of downtown Watsonville on Highway 152. Get up and go for the loud, raucous, rip-roaring racing fun this Friday night at Ocean Speedway.
Coast Paper and Supply has been family-owned and operated since 1948. They have a wide array of products available, including brand-name and eco-friendly cleaning supplies, paper goods, and compostable plates, cups, and cutlery. Whether your needs are for business or home, Coast Paper and Supply's friendly and reliable staff have what you're looking for. They even accommodate special orders. You can find them at 151 Josephine on River Street in Santa Cruz, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30, or call at 831-423-3350. Coast Paper and Supply is a proud member of Think Local First.
Eat, Drink, Explore Radio is your lifestyle information source. Our focus includes food, wine, craft beer, travel and tourism trends, emphasizing healthy, local, and sustainable options. We've got you covered from 8 to 10 each and every Sunday morning, live, right here on KSCO AM 1080. Eat, Drink, Explore Radio, your source for the lifestyle you love.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
It is the Rich Lieberman program on the Saturday special, and we are substituting for MZ, who is back in Chicago on business. I have on the phone VIP line. My guest is Dr. Hassan Astani from UC Berkeley, has studied these issues involving bridges and infrastructure and trestle bridges and suspension bridges. Real quickly, doctor, before we get on with the general nature of this entire incredible story that, again, I think is so vital and is so important for you to get this information out, and this this almost criminal, and I'm going to call it that, like foible that Caltrans and the MTC is putting out. Give us an idea to the laymen that are listening right now. By the way, our phone number is 479-1080, 479-1080, area code 831. Tell us why the single tower suspension, which this new bridge is so safety-wise, such a delicate balancing act, and why, and just explain to the layman this whole idea that there's not very many of these bridges around, and they do present safety issues like this. And just give us an overview, if you will, to the layman that's not necessarily, you know, inclined mechanically or with all these kind of civil engineering minutia that they can hear and relate to.
If you will. I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
First of all, there are none single tower self-anchored bridge in the world, and this is the only one. So let's put that. What is single tower? Single tower means the bridge has only one tower. If you look around, all Golden Gate Bridge, West Side of Bay Bridge, the new Carquinez Suspension Bridge, all suspension bridges that I know, and they are built throughout the world, thousands and thousands, they have two towers. There's a reason, because each tower helps the other one. It's like two people holding hands. If someone is kind of like falling down, the cable pulls it back. And we saw it in all the earthquakes, that all these towers are helping each other, because cable connects them to each other. So that is the meaning of single tower, which is unstable. It's just one person standing in the bus. And then if the bus breaks, that person is very unstable. If you hold a friend tightly, you're pretty good, because you can kind of help each other not to fall down. That's one.
Right.
Self-anchored is really the virus that is completely going to destroy the stability of this bridge. Because what is self-anchored is this. All suspension bridges almost, with the exception of this one and few old 1920s and so forth, plus two small ones, one in South Korea, one in Japan, very small ones, like 6,000 cars cross it a day. Completely insignificant. They are self-anchored. What is self-anchored? Self-anchored means all suspension bridges have cables. You see those graceful, nice, curved cables that go to the top of the tower, come down, and go to the top of the tower and come down. They are connected to the ground. They are anchored to huge, huge concrete blocks, like a size of a seven-story building. We are talking about serious loads here. The cable force that is pulling the bridge can reach like 400 million pounds. These are completely out of people's mind, but 400 million pounds is a lot of force. So they are all suspension bridges, Golden Gate Bridge, West Side of Bay Bridge, Carquinez, everyone. They are anchored to the ground. Then the roadway is actually hanging from the cable like swings. You have like 200 swings, one after another. All of them are hanging from the main cable. You are driving over swings. Maybe you didn't know it, but it's like a playground, and there are 200 swings, one after another, and that's what you are driving in. This is great. It's fine. You shouldn't worry about it. That's the elegant.
Quick question, because I think a lot of people, just a basic question with regards to bridges. I think a lot of people listening right now, myself included, this might sound like a stupid question. Forgive me, doctor. The very nature of bridges is you have a pathway, a roadway to get over water. Is it just by the very definition of a bridge? I've always wondered, why didn't they just build a simple, like a viaduct type of a bridge, like the San Mateo Bridge? And I believe me, as I told you the first time I had you on the air, I thought, well, that doesn't look nice. It just looks like a freeway that goes over water. So is it these suspension bridges like the bridge in Boston, say, which looks very nice, or the Golden Gate? Is that type of a bridge, in other words, a non-viaduct, which aesthetically looks a heck of a lot nicer than a simple path, a viaduct like a San Mateo Bridge kind of a bridge, is the effect is the same, right? Is the suspension bridges simply the cables themselves? Why are they built? Is it simply a matter of aesthetics? Is that the case? And with that, does it bring extra risk?
No. Actually, suspension bridges are at the top of elegance and safety.
I see.
Suspension bridges. Mm-hmm. So that if you are rating suspension bridges, the Golden Gate Bridge, West Side of Bay Bridge, those are anchored suspension bridges. They're anchored to the ground. They're at the top of safety and elegance, both. But to answer your question, the reason we use suspension bridges or cable state bridges, the one in the Boston, is because the span length. If a span is long, you have to use suspension bridge because the flat viaduct goes usually up to 500 feet, like the Skyway in this case, it's kind of 500 feet span. Span is the distance between piers. So it really is governed by length of span. So if you are crossing a huge body of water or a valley, a gorge, it's very hard to build many, many piers because imagine for Golden Gate, you are trying to build, 20 piers inside that turbulent water. That's not going to do it. So you put one tower on the land, actually. The other one happened to be in the water.
It's not just aesthetic. So in other words, a viaduct type of a bridge has much risk or safety concerns as a suspension tower or multiple suspension towers.
Actually, during earthquake, suspension bridges are far, far safer. The reason is they go back to period. I don't want to go to civil engineering minutia, as you were saying, but the more flexible a structure is, the less seismic forces it gets. So, in fact, San Mateo Bridge, believe it or not, let me state this. I studied San Mateo Bridge after Loma Prieta. I studied Golden Gate Bridge, Bay Bridge, everything, right? San Mateo Bridge had much more serious damage. This is for the first time maybe your audience is hearing. San Mateo Bridge had much more serious seismic damage during Loma Prieta than the existing east spans. Let me repeat
Even with the collapsed roadway.
Because the collapsed roadway was on top of the pier. The bridge itself had no damage. That dropped roadway was on top of the pier. That was not part of the bridge. Golden Gate Bridge had almost no damage other than some expansion joints chipped out, some concrete. Amazing, right? West Side of Bay Bridge had no damage other than one small crack in one concrete piece. This is the Bridge Engineering 101. If your bridge is flexible and it is anchored to the ground, that's very important, then you get almost very small load because the bridge is so flexible. It's like a rope. Imagine, you have a rope in your backyard and you're hanging towels. Mm-hmm. If earthquake hits, do you think that rope and towels will be in trouble? No, they're just going to shake and stop.
You also say that the new bridge, and I hate to keep going because we're running out of time, so I want to get as much information. New eastern span of the bridge would be... susceptible to a terrorist type of a bomb or some bomb that would make it render it and more susceptible to collapsing too.
Right. Before we go there, just a few seconds. I want to say that self-anchored bridge, the cables in self-anchored bridge are connected to the roadway. That is the problem. So all this force of cables, instead of going to the ground, goes to the bridge itself. So the bridge itself is being compressed continuously. It's like you stand up and hold a heavy tray. The tray, your arms are cable, the tray is the roadway, and your body is the single tar. That tray is being compressed because of your arms are kind of like pushing it in. And if terrorists place a small, very small TNT bomb on this thing, on this roadway, it's going to collapse. But suspension bridges, the anchor suspension bridges, you place 10,000 pounds TNT coolant truck on it. The only thing can happen, this is a study. We did a study. Other people have studied. It's not opinion. The terrorist, the truck, the bomb will explode. Some people, of course, unfortunately, tragically, will get injured and killed around the explosion. But the bridge
is going to be straight. It'll be a very localized kind of problem, but not a bridge coming down and not the calamity that you've described.
Right. Rich, before we go to your audience, which I want to get to your listeners, can I have just 30 seconds to ask for a favor to your listeners?
Sure.
Can I do that? Can I ask for action on your on the part
Absolutely,
of your
listeners? Absolutely, you can. Okay. I urge you.
What I'd like to plead with them is that this is the weekend. This is the weekend that Caltrans, at two very important meetings, presented your elected officials with completely incorrect information about the earthquake that they are using to design this bridge, telling your elected officials who are deciding your fate for the future and future generations, your loved ones and generations after you, that this bridge is designed for 1.8G or 180% G. Would you please use this weekend, go to your computers, phones, whatever you have, emails, find the email address, phone number, whatever contact information you can find for your representative on the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
First and foremost, the governor, Governor Jerry Brown.
Yes, I'm having a list. Metropolitan Transportation Commission, because they were...
How do, how do people get to your website first?
I have not posted this, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to just say one sentence that they can ask. So go to your Metropolitan Transportation Commission emails, go to your state legislators, Senate, and the Assembly, find your member that you have voted for, and that's your representative, and the governor and secretary of housing and transportation, and any other officials involved with deciding the fate of this bridge, and just write this one sentence and ask them why Dr. Brian Rooney, at this briefing, and I'm going to give you the title of this briefing, so you can put this down. This is the briefing that is called Briefing on Bay Bridge Bolts - June 6, 2013. This is a PowerPoint that was presented to state legislators on June 6. It had all these MTC people, Senator DeSaulnier especially was there. It's mentioned by name in that story. Those state legislators were told that at this briefing, so you can form your email like this. Why? At the briefing on Bay Bridge Bolts -June 6, 2013, Dr. Brian Rooney, chief engineer of this bridge, told state representatives, my representative, that this bridge is designed for 180% G, whereas he knows, you want to have this also, whereas he knows, and that the plots and the curves on slide number 34 and 35. I want to be very specific. Please ask why on this slide 34 and 35, it is very clear to any engineer that this bridge is not designed for anything as 180%. It is designed at the most for 20%, and that is there on that plot. Why Dr. Brian Rooney showed this slide number 34 and 35 on this PowerPoint and told you that this bridge is designed for 180% G. Very simple paragraph.
Can you take a call real quick? Let's take a call from a listener. We have a lot of people
Thank
that want to talk
time.
To you.
Thank
well, hold
you
on, hold time. On. We got a question from the listener, Dr. Astani. Can you hold and answer a question?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's go to Tom in Soquel is on KSCO, the Saturday special with Dr. Astani. Tom, you have a question.
Actually, I have two. First of all, the most important one, I think, is this bridge salvageable or should it be scrapped? And secondly, when Loma Prieta earthquake occurred, there was the roadway collapse on the cantilever section of the Bay Bridge. The statement was made within a couple of years that the replacement of the cantilever section with a new bridge and the repair and earthquake retrofitting of the cantilever section would be approximately the same cost. Where is that now, considering all the problems this bridge is having?
Dr. Astani?
First of all, in order to salvage this new bridge, what needs to be done is there has to be a completely independent of Caltrans and all the people who were involved with design of this bridge, and knowledgeable. There are two conditions for any panel: to be independent and to be knowledgeable. And that panel should spend, in my estimate, about a year or two to actually look into all the problems, why we have all these problems in this bridge, and then come up with solution how you can solve the problem. In 2005, I had a solution when Governor Schwarzenegger wanted to scrap the signature bridge and replace it with flat, just skyway. And politicians and reporters and Caltrans were all up in arms that, no, we need signature bridge. But again, at that time also, Caltrans failed and deceived the politicians and told them that you wanted signature bridge, we gave you signature bridge. But they failed to tell them that, look, this signature look that you like could be done as anchored, not self-anchored. What they had done was, sure, politicians are not engineers. They wanted signature bridge. They could get it. All had to be done was anchor the cables, and that was what solution I sent to Governor Schwarzenegger, that you don't need to change the signature. People want it. You can have it. The problem is with the cables connected to the roadway, and you can connect the cables to the ground, and I had all that calculation done. If they had done that, and that was when it was just starting to be constructed, if they had done that, this bridge will be done in 2-3 years finished. Now it's about 8 years.
Under budget, probably, too.
And it will be $2 billion. It was very clear because suspension bridges, at that same time, Caltrans built Carquinez Bridge, which as far as volume of work, it's about half of this bridge. It was only $240 million. Nice anchored suspension bridge, but even you don't know it because it's just kind of like so nice and built and done. And this bridge, if you had made it suspension, with all the costs and everything, would be like $2-3 billion at the most. And it would be safe. But no, we have to build self-anchored, and this is now we are. So it is not, I mean, that's another deception that really bothers me, because they kind of blame Mayor Brown, Mayor Jerry Brown, Willie Brown, that politicians wanted this bridge signature, we gave it to them. Mm-hmm. It's completely fraud, because politicians, people, you and I wanted a nice looking bridge. That's what people want. That's what answers your question, Rich, that you were saying why people build elegant bridges.
Well, why couldn't they, Doctor? And Tom, I'll let you get your second question and we'll move on. But could they not have just had a second tower, as you point out? Was it just that
even
they
you
wanted
don't need
that?
Second tower.
Was a single tower? Was it just because it looked nicer?
It will be fine.
I mean, I don't get that.
I'm answering the question that Tom had, that is this bridge salvageable? Sure, if they wanted to do it right, they should have had two towers and they should have anchored it. But at the time that Arnold Schwarzenegger was saying that let's scrap it, and then they were saying, oh no, people want it, the problem was, okay, at least you can have single tower. It's not that bad to have single tower and anchored. What is bad is single tower and self-anchored. So you can have single tower suspension bridge that is connected
as long as
to the
they
ground.
Anchor it to the ground and not to
exactly.
The right. So, right. And so let me ask what Tom asked, because we're running out of time here.
Sure.
Is in your estimation, Doctor, is this bridge under construction now that's about 95% done?
Yes.
Do they have to start over and scratch that, or can they build within what they built already, or do they got to basically tear that new one down and start over?
The problem is that, first of all, the skyway part, because of those cables that are rusted, the concrete part. See, this bridge is 10,000 feet. 8,000 feet of it, the length, is concrete and then post-tension with those cables. And 2,000 feet is this sky, kind of like a signature one.
Right.
There is a very highly respected expert on concrete structures and pretensioning, Dr. Hawkins, Professor Hawkins of University of Illinois. He's really the godfather of this. He was quoted in the newspapers a couple of weeks ago that there is no way to correct corroded cables in the concrete part. You have to demolish it and rebuild it. So that's for 8,000 feet of skyway. Now, my expertise is not in concrete. I just quoted expert who knows, and that's Professor Hawkins.
I understand.
Now, coming back to steel bomb, which is my field, I studied actually this particular bridge for 15 years. For this part, you have to come up with solution, but that was when bolts and welds were not a problem. Now, with these bolts, imagine. These bolts are like glass-like bolts at the base of tar, and the tar is only single tar. In order to have this tar stabilized, you have to connect it down to the foundation by some other mechanisms, which can be huge. It is doable. There's nothing in engineering that we always say, there's always a solution, especially in steel structures. There's always a solution in the steel structures. But the issue is that in this case, how much it costs, how long it takes, what would be the quality of final product. So there is a solution, but it has to be starting at this time by stopping Dr. Maroonies of the world from giving state legislatures completely wrong information to get this bridge opened up and move on and put people in seismic hazard condition, form completely independent and expert team to study it. We have national laboratories. They have no conflict of interest with Caltrans. They have the highest expertise in these things. They have studied.
Tom, do you have your second question?
Well, I already asked it.
That's right. Any further questions? We got to, otherwise, thank you for calling. Any other?
I'm done. And thank the professor for his very interesting presentation today.
Thank you very much, Tom,
for your questions. Yeah, thank you.
In our remaining 3 or 4 minutes here, let's try to surmise this. And again, I've had you on before. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic.
No,
I've read about you. I've read about your qualifications. I don't need to state the fact that your credentials. Your credentials are widely known, both not only in the the infrastructure and the bridges and so forth, and people have seen your quotes. You've been interviewed on other radio stations, not just mine. So having said all of that, give us kind of a surmise here. We're at the end of the game, so to speak. The next date on the agenda is July 10th. That's when we're supposed to have this grand announcement from Caltrans and the MTC as to what they're going to do, what they're going to state. From the looks of things, after reading that article yesterday, Doctor, is there any possibility that they can open this thing, this bridge, on September 3rd, Labor Day weekend? Is there a chance of that happening? And if that happens, there's potential criminality there. Is there not?
Absolutely. I think what has to happen if we want to save people from being killed on this bridge. I'm not trying to be dramatic either, Rich. This is serious.
I understand.
My whole career for 45 years was public safety and structural safety. That's what I do. If this bridge is going to kill people, collapse and kill people, that will be because...
Let me ask you point blank, and I've asked you this question before. I want everybody that is listening right now, just listen. Dr. Astani, would you drive over that bridge with your
absolutely
family?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not now, after this, especially after Bolt and Weld problems. But let me tell you, if this bridge is open, I have no doubt, and the numbers are there, that this bridge will collapse. This is a fracture critical bridge. It has brittle bolts connecting the cables to roadway, connecting the tower to the base. This bridge will collapse, even very, very highly possible during moderate earthquake. There will be, on the average, there are 17,000 people on this bridge. There will be people on it. We are not going to be able to predict earthquakes. There are going to be thousands of people dropped 240 feet. There is no chance that those people can survive inside their
Dr. car. Astani, we're out of time. And I must tell you that what you have said is absolutely revolting, devastating. Folks, get on the phones, get on the computer, email your politicians, email the governor. And all I could say is, and listen to this program later on. It'll be repeated at 10 o'clock tonight. This is a major, major, major issue of vital importance. Dr. Hassan Astani, thank you very much for appearing on the Saturday special.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Folks, you just heard what I heard, and it is scary, to say the least. And this is not some crazy guy. This is a man who studied bridges, has been quoted in a variety of newspapers and online materials, and just... It is unbelievable. He just said flat out, the bridge is going to collapse. We've come to the end of the Saturday special. I thank MZ for asking me to sit in and participate. We encourage you to stay tuned to future programming here on KSCO. Have yourselves a great Saturday. Hope you enjoyed the program. Our guests have been Dr. Hassan Astani from UC Berkeley and Gerald Salenti from thetrendsfuture.com. We're going to take it from here and have yourself a terrific Saturday. This is Rich Lieberman on the Saturday special, KSCO 1080 AM, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Watsonville. It is 12 o'clock.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The first summit between President Obama and China's new leader wraps up in California this afternoon. CBS's Steve Futterman.
We believe the discussions today between the two presidents have likely been an extension of the first day of talks yesterday. As the two men began today's discussions, President Obama was asked how the meetings have gone. His reply?
Terrific.
A bit later today, we should get a better idea of the 2 days of meetings when Mr. Obama's national security advisor meets with reporters. Steve Futterman, CBS News, with the president in Palm Springs.
It's another deadly day for Americans in Afghanistan. Two military members and a civilian were killed in an insider attack. International Forces spokesman Lieutenant Quentin Rorick.
An individual wearing an ANA uniform turned his weapon against the ISAF service members.
The Americans were training the Afghan soldier when he opened fire on them. Just a few days after taking power, Pakistan's new government is protesting a suspected U.S. drone strike that killed seven militants last night. CBS News Pakistan consultant Jerry Van Dyke.
The new Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif said repeatedly during his campaign that he was opposed to the drone strikes, that he wanted the drone strikes to end, that he was going to call on the United States to end them. He is following through on a campaign promise.
A heavy equipment operator with a long rap sheet is facing involuntary manslaughter charges in the deaths of six people who were killed in a Philadelphia building demolition that went awry. KYW reporter Tim Jimenez.
A warrant was approved for 42-year-old Sean Benschoff, who was operating the heavy equipment during the collapse. It was there Wednesday morning when a wall of a building set for demolition collapsed under the Salvation Army thrift store. As a result, six people were killed, 14 injured. And according to sources, blood tests on Benschoff found the presence of a prescription painkiller and marijuana.
He rescued a neighbor from a burning house, saved a shaking dog from the cold, and invited powerless Hurricane Sandy victims to come to his house. Now Newark Mayor Cory Booker wants to fill the Senate seat of the late Frank Lautenberg.
This is the unique experience I will bring to Washington, D.C. Experience forged from working together with other New Jersey residents, not to talk about problems, but to run towards them.
The mayor, some call a superhero, is considered the odds-on favorite in the August Democratic primary and the October special election. Who doesn't love previews of coming attractions? Apparently, some theater owners, they're taking issue with the length of movie trailers, which can take up to 20 minutes before the start of a film. They're asking Hollywood to limit trailers to 2 minutes tops and to advertise movies that are no more than 4 months away from hitting the theaters.
It's messing with your head.
This is CBS News.
I'm in Yosemite National Park to talk Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream with the Miller family. So how many itchy bug bites and rashes do you have?
33 bites.
34.
And a case of poison ivy.
It itches.
Do not scratch.
Miller family, relief starts now. Gold Bond has twice the itch-fighting medicine of hydrocortisone cream.
Ooh.
Plus aloe and vitamin E. It's fast relief on contact.
Feels better already. Who's up for a hike?
Look at the big kitty.
I'm out. Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream. Relief starts now.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-601-7780.
800-601-7780.
800-601-7780.
It pays to have talented travel companions.
Suppose you were on board a plane in Beijing that was stuck in a three-hour delay on the tarmac. You'd probably be fuming until you heard... Members of a string quartet from the Philadelphia Orchestra broke out their instruments in the cabin and began playing an impromptu concert. Two violinists, a cellist, and a viola player began making beautiful music while other passengers smiled and recorded the not-quite-in-flight entertainment on their cell phones. Who knows, maybe airlines will start offering this as a standard feature during delays. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Psychiatrist Dean Brooks has died. He opened Oregon State Hospital's doors to filming the 1975 Oscar-winning movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. While all other mental hospitals turned down the movie producers, Brooks's daughter says her father wanted to start a national discussion on mental health and treatment. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
KSCO News Time, 12:05. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update. We'll start with traffic. Heavy stuff, no matter which way you slice it, all over the Central Coast. South 17 is going to be stopped from just south of Scotts Valley all the way into the Ocean Street spillout from Highway 17, and then all of those beach area, major beach roadways, Ocean Street, Water Street, SoCal, Broadway, East Cliff. We're all seeing an inundation of beach traffic. It's a sunny Saturday with temperatures at the coast 30 degrees cooler than what it is inland. That means we're getting a lot of people trying to relieve themselves right here on the Central Coast from the heat, that is. So Santa Cruz beach traffic and Monterey beach traffic, definitely a problem. Highway 1 northbound is going to be backed up from just north of Aptos into the construction zone at La Fonda. If you